Of the bottom four teams that are technically tanking, Zach Lowe went on his podcast and said he thought the Pistons are in the best position. We're going to talk about what else he said and why the Pistons he feels like are in the best position. My reaction to it in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button over at the YouTube channel or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So a few days ago, I'm recording this on Saturday. I'm actually recording this right after the Pistons lost to the Raptors, which we'll talk about at the very end of the podcast. But the whole purpose of me recording this during the weekend is because I listened to Zach Lowe's last The Low Post podcast episode, where he had Jonathan Givney on the podcast as a guest. And on there, they talked about a lot of things. They talked about Bronny James, draft prospects. They talked about a lot of things, but one of the segments that they had, they were talking about the four bottom teams currently quote-unquote tanking, which includes Houston, San Antonio, Detroit, and Charlotte. And they basically asked the question to each other, and they ranked them 1 to 4. If you were a GM, which team, which organization is the most appealing with their rebuild, with their retool, their restoration, whatever you want to call it? They were ranking them 1 through 4, which one is the most intriguing. And Givney had the Pistons number 2, but Zach Lowe had the Pistons number 1. And I want to talk about why he had him. I'm going to tell you guys why. I also encourage you guys definitely go listen to the podcast. I thought it was absolutely refreshing takes on the Pistons. They were very informed from an outside point of view. I thought it was a fun listen. So definitely, I'm going to link that down below, but definitely go check it out, The Low Post. It was a really good listen. So one of the things that they brought up as something they were comparing across teams to figure out which team was most appealing. And it's the first thing I want to talk about. It's assets. And honestly, it's shocking to me that they talked about that and Zach Lowe still went with the Pistons number 1 on his list, because they went through and they talked about it. And honestly, I know we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but to be honest, even listening to the podcast that they recorded, even I wasn't quite aware of just how far behind the Pistons are in assets compared to the rest of these teams. Not so much Charlotte, but even Charlotte, I believe they said they had one pick that they don't own that's in the first round. I forget which team is a contending team, so it's not a great pick. But even Charlotte has an extra pick on their hands. San Antonio has a few picks in their arsenal, in their assets. And we already know about Houston. They have all those picks from Brooklyn. They have a few other picks as well. And they went on to talk about how the Pistons are so far behind in assets. And they technically owe a first to New York. Plus the fact that they're not a high free agent destination, it's hard for them to see how exactly the Pistons are going to be able to pull off getting trades in the future, getting, if there was a star wanting out, all that kind of stuff. It's hard for them to envision that the Pistons would be able to be players at any point in something like that. And they don't know if the Pistons will be able to get like star free agents, because it's Detroit. It's a small market. So they talked about that, but yet Zach Lowe still had them number 1. And why did he have them number 1? He talked a lot about their young core and how high he is on the young core. Before I get into what he said about the young core, I just want to comment on the asset management. That's why after you listen to that podcast, if you guys go and listen to it after listening to this segment, you guys will come away understanding why I was so much in the camp of trading Bojan for a first-round pick. Because it is. The Pistons are at a disadvantage, not only because they owe a first-round pick, but because they don't have any extra ones from other teams. So they can't be players in the trade market. They can't, try to attach assets to go get a player they want. Like, I don't know. They just don't have it. And these other rebuilding teams do. So if a guy comes out and wants out, these other rebuilding teams have the assets to be able to go get them and take them to the next level of the rebuild, where the Pistons, though, are really just relying on internal development right now. Like, that's their biggest thing they have to rely on. is internal development and maybe overpaying for a free agent. But right now, I just don't, a lot of people just don't see, a lot of smart people don't see how the Pistons could be able to get legit players without developing them themselves and maybe overpaying for somebody in free agency. So I definitely, I'm interested to see what the Pistons do in the offseason with Bojan. I'd like to think that in the offseason, they're going to revisit trading Bojan for a first, or maybe trading him for a slot in the draft, this upcoming draft, so Weaver can get another pick in the first round. Wouldn't be shocked about that. He did that with Jeremy. So wouldn't be shocked about that. But I also want to talk about what Zach Lowe said about the Pistons' young core. And he said that despite the asset stuff, that he's so high on the trio of Cade, Jaden Ivey, and Jalen Duren, that that's enough in and of itself to put them number one. And really, not even just Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey, he really spoke highly of Cade Cunningham. He said, out of all the four teams, that he felt like Cade Cunningham was the number one guy across all the four teams that had the chance to be a franchise guy who's going to be a bona fide all-star. He's the guy that he feels most comfortable with reaching that height. And when you are able to find that guy, it makes everything else so much easier. They talked a little bit about the Spurs, how they have a lot of good little complementary pieces. Kind of the same thing with Houston, but the culture and all that kind of stuff going on over there. Again, I don't want to spoil the entire podcast because it was an amazing listen. Again, I'm going to encourage you guys to go listen to it yourself. There's going to be a ton of things they talked about concerning the Pistons and the other rebuilding teams, which I think is really insightful for a Pistons fan to see how other rebuilding teams are going about it. That I'm not going to mention here. So again, listen to it. But they mentioned how the rest of these teams have good complementary players, but they believe the Pistons are the one team that has that bona fide franchise player potentially in Cade Cunningham, and that is enough to put them number one, along with the fact that they have some nice cap space. They talked about Jalen Duren. They talked about Jaden Ivey and how excited they are about Jaden Ivey's development through his rookie season. And then they went on to talk about how the Pistons also have a top chance at Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson, which they think both guys would be great fits for the Pistons. But then they also went on to talk about Isaiah Stewart. They went on to talk about Killian Hayes. And they went on to talk about acquiring James Wiseman. And I thought they had some really good takes with all those guys. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but I thought specifically what they said about Killian Hayes was probably spot on, that he's basically your backup point guard. He's only 21. You have no problem with him being your backup, and you just let him come into next year as your backup point guard. You don't have to worry about him playing big minutes or being your starter. He's only 21. And then 2 to 3 years, who knows? Maybe he does develop into something more, and now you have a great backup. But the bigger point that they said about him is that everyone just needs to forget his draft slot. You just need to forget that they were drafted number 7 and look at him, what he can do for the team moving forward. And they kind of did that with both Stu and Killing, but more so Killing because obviously he was drafted 7th. They feel like that both those guys can be key pieces on the bench and that they're both super young. And in a few years, if you just keep them and let them develop as bench pieces, that who knows, in the next few years, maybe they can develop into something more. They're really high-level backups, etc. So I thought that was really spot on, listening to what they said about that. But it was really encouraging, to be honest. I loved hearing the fact that they were so high on Cade Cunningham because of what we've heard about Cade from all these, you know, all these other national people that don't watch the Pistons. They were very informed with their opinion. I was really happy that they were very high on Cade Cunningham and the things they had to say about the Pistons. So I loved it. I loved to listen. I listened to it twice to make sure I caught everything. But again, yeah, I'm going to link that down below. It's the low post on whatever podcast platform. Make sure you guys check it out. Again, it was great information. Great. And last thing I'll say is it's good to get outside perspective on your team from guys that are informed. Not outside perspective from like a Stephen A. Smith or like Shan Sharp and Skip Bayless. Not like that. But when you have informed guys who've watched the Pistons, who go back and do their research and then have informed opinions, it makes a really good listen because they have a different perspective from outside your team's fan base. They're not going to have any biases. So again, I thought it was a really good listen. I thought they were very informed with what they said, and every Pistons fan should check it out because it's really insightful. When we come back though, I want to give my opinion that do I believe that the Pistons are actually the top team that you would rather run? If you were a GM, would you want to take over the Pistons out of all the other four teams? Do I agree with that? And why do I think so or not? And then they also briefly touched on why the Pistons moved on from Sadiq Bey. And I want to talk about that too. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. Let me tell you guys a little bit about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores and threes drained. And a player prop that I'm really looking at, taking advantage of almost every game for the Pistons, is Jaden Ivey's over on assist. In this game against the Toronto Raptors, he had 10 assists. He continues to improve as a playmaker and continue to improve as a point guard. As long as they continue to have his assist lower than 6 assists, I'm going to continue to take the over on it. So that's something I would look over at FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So we're going to talk about the Raptors game a little bit later. It was a really ugly game. The Pistons lost. That wasn't why I wanted to record this podcast, because I listened to the Low Post. And I was like, I really want to talk about what they said. So we'll briefly touch on that game a little bit later. It's not a big target of mine. But what I want to do is, like I said before, I want to give my opinion as I listen to what they said about the Hornets, what they said about the Spurs, what they said about the Rockets and the Pistons, getting that outside perspective. And from me, obviously, covering the Pistons all season, do I believe that the Pistons actually are the best situated team of all those four teams? And before I reveal my answer, I do want to make sure I feel the same way as Lowe and Givney in this perspective, that a lot of this is going to remain with the fact that the Pistons have a top three odds at Wemby and Scoot. So if you can add one, if you have a high chance of adding one of those guys to this trio, it's more appealing to adding them to this trio than it would be to adding to the Spurs or adding to the Hornets or adding to the Rockets. So that was something they took into account. I'm definitely going to take that into account too, just because of how stacked that top two are in the draft. So that comes into account. And I do agree that if you were to add one of those guys to the Pistons, it would impact them so much more with how far they can go, like their next step and what that raises their ceiling. I agree with that. I think the Pistons are number one. Out of those four teams, I do think the Pistons probably are one. And the only other team that I think comes close to them, to be honest, is Houston. But I'm going to pick apart why I think Detroit's over Houston. And the biggest reason, and it's exactly what Zach Lowe pointed out, is that the Pistons have Cade Cunningham. I haven't watched a ton of Houston Rockets basketball, but I've watched a little bit. Now, I've followed a lot of Houston Rockets guys. I've followed Locked On Rockets host Jackson Gatlin, obviously. But I haven't been thrilled with Jalen Green's second season. I think he's taking a step back. I have some concerns about that. And then their culture is really concerning. What the Pistons have going for them, again, is that they have a franchise guy, which I think is the best player across all four of these teams. I think he's the best player from their draft class. And I think that's the most important thing to hit on. But then I think, not Dwayne Casey, but Troy Weaver really did a great job with this last draft with Jalen Duren and Jaden Ivey. So the Pistons have a legit, really solid young core of like that young trio right there, that I feel like each guy has like a legit chance to be a star. Each one of them. Like the rest of the young core that the Pistons have, like Isaiah Livers, a really good find in the second round. I think he can be a legit piece for this team, not as a star or an all-star or anything, but as a good connector in the starting lineup or a really good piece coming off the bench. I like that pick. Isaiah Stewart, he should be a fine guy off the bench when the Pistons are trying to win. It's cool to have bench players. Killian Hayes, I think he can be their backup point guard. I think that's a good piece to have. Obviously, you would have liked more from your 7th overall pick, but they have two guys ahead of them that are better, that are going to be better pieces long-term. You have a backup point guard. And if he, like I said, like Zach Lowe said, with Stu and, or I think actually Jonathan Givney actually said this part, that you can just let that guy develop on the bench and be your backup point guard. There's nothing wrong with that. So I'd like the other pieces the Pistons have. Those three other pieces should be fine pieces, but they have a really rock-solid trio that I don't think other teams have, that all three have star potential. and have developed how they've developed already through their career. So that's one reason. The second reason is, again, it really comes down to culture. That's the biggest reason, because if it wasn't bad culture and bad things going on in Houston, like behind the scenes, they've really ripped into Houston on this podcast. Like, it was bad. It was bad what they did on the podcast to Houston. But if it wasn't for the culture stuff over in Houston going on, I think Houston probably would be number one. I actually think Givney put them number one still. And I get that. I think there's an argument for it, and it makes sense. However, the fact that the Pistons have such a great culture going on right now, the fact that they have guys who want to come play for them, it's not like superstars or anything, but they have guys. RJ Hampton just came out and said that the reason why he wanted to go to Detroit is because his agent and his family felt like Detroit was a really good culture, a really good place to play at. They had a good support system from the top down. So the fact that you're hearing stuff like that, it wasn't just RJ Hampton recently. We've heard little increment pieces about that over the last few years about Detroit. So the fact that Detroit has such that big of advantage over Houston, that makes up for the fact that Houston, they do have a few nice young pieces, especially Sengun. I like Sengun. Houston has a ton of picks, a ton of assets. Whenever a star wants out, I won't be surprised if Houston gets them. They have a ton of picks to be able to use. And that in and of itself, the fact that you have some young players with that type of assets in your treasure chest, that should keep you at number one. But that culture really bumps them down. It bumps them down, and that's why I'd have Detroit number one. I don't think these other teams really compete, especially Charlotte. I feel bad for LaMelo, man, because I don't know what they're doing. But I don't think Charlotte really comes close. I know some people, I think Givney was really high on Jeremy Sochan for the San Antonio Spurs. But I feel like the Spurs just don't have like a legit star of their young core. I think they have a lot of like fun. Like I hate when I try not to do this when I talk about this. Just because you're not a star piece, I don't want to be like, oh, you're just a blah piece. Because good pieces can just be starters, can be high-level role players off the bench. And I feel like the Spurs have a lot of those guys. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think the Pistons, like I mentioned earlier, they're one of the only teams in this top four. Maybe Houston, if you're still really high on Jalen Green. I'm just not. But Detroit's the only one, like I said, with the trio of guys who I believe could literally become stars one day. Another top pick coming in this draft with a chance at Wemby and Scoot. A few other pieces of their young core that are still really young, are going to be younger than some guys that are drafted this year and are role players moving forward off the bench with cap space and good culture. So I think all that combined, I think I would have Detroit number one. If I had to rank them, I would probably go Detroit one. I'd put Houston two, despite that culture, because of just how much assets they have. And despite the fact that they haven't had a lot of stuff going right, they still have a lot of good young talent. So I'd have Houston two. This is where like people would get really like, they both had Charlotte fourth. I would consider having Charlotte maybe third, simply because they have LaMelo, and LaMelo's a face of the franchise type of player. I feel like if you get the right pieces around LaMelo, he can be a legit superstar. I'm really high on LaMelo. The problem is that Charlotte's just in such a bad position everywhere else besides LaMelo. Mark Williams has looked decent lately. I don't know. I think I'd probably have San Antonio then three, I guess. But Charlotte, you could switch either of those guys simply because LaMelo is something that San Antonio doesn't have. But again, I'm going to ask you guys to go listen to that podcast. They were really insightful, man. It was cool to see that they had Detroit in such high light. And again, I think something that fans need to do is, especially with a team like Detroit who's rebuilding, retooling, restoring, tanking, whatever you want to call it, look at how the other teams are going that are in the same place as you. So you can see, you know, how is Detroit comparing to the other guys that are at the same spot as them? And you may feel better or you may feel worse. I know after listening, I felt better about the Pistons culture. I felt better about the whole Troy Weaver drafting people over players thing. I felt really appreciative of that. After listening, I felt, you know, a little bit more appreciative of Dwayne Casey, even though I don't think he's the greatest X's and O's guy. He's helped create that culture, help them develop into young men off the floor. I came away feeling more appreciative of that. I came away feeling more appreciative of Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, and of course, Cade Cunningham. But then also I felt a little bit worse about the fact the Pistons just don't have any of the assets these other teams have. And I think that keeps them behind the eight ball if they don't get Scoot or Wemby in this offseason. So I don't know. Just go listen to it. Tell me what you guys think about it, what your guys' takeaways are from listening to the podcast. These are mine. I want to talk about it. But that's all I've got from that podcast. We could go on probably and talk about it a lot. There's so many things they talked about, but that's all I'm going to say for today. When we come back, we'll touch a little bit about this Raptors loss the Pistons had. Another very ugly game from the Pistons. Back-to-back ugly games coming out of the All-Star break. Pretty concerning stuff. We'll talk about it when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review. On whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, that's another great way to support the podcast. Before we talk about this Raptors game, let me do a spin on the Tankathon. Pistons fall to 4. We're going to ignore it. We don't wish any bad energy onto the Pistons. We're just going to ignore it like that. It never happened. All right, so the Pistons played Toronto at 12, which why are they playing at 12 on a Saturday? What was that about? I don't think the Pistons have ever played good in an early game, ever. I can't remember, at least with this quarter. I don't think they've ever played good early games. So I don't get why they played at 12. That was pretty annoying. But just another sloppy game from the Pistons. Their first two games, like the first game out of the All-Star break, Jaden Ivey obviously had a really nice game. But outside of him, overall, the team has not looked good at all through two games. They've been very sloppy. They haven't shot the ball well. Let me read you guys these percentages right here. Bojan Bogdanović in this game, 5 of 12, 41%. Jaden Ivey in this game, 3 of 16, 18%. Killian Hayes, 1 of 6, 16%. Marvin Bagley, 9 of 19, that's 47%. I mean, that's fine, but 9 of 19 is not very efficient. Diallo, 5 of 13, 38%. They shot 40% as a team. First game, they had damn near 20 turnovers. Actually, I believe they had exactly 20 turnovers in the first game. This game, they shot poorly, and they had 13 turnovers. They've just played very sloppy basketball, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. You think that coming out of All-Star break, after finally getting some rest, after getting a break, they'd look a little bit better, and they don't. Everyone's struggling. Everyone's struggling. Besides, I guess you want to give a lot of props to Marvin Bagley, who had 21 points and 18 rebounds in this game off the bench. My goodness. A lot of those 18 rebounds were like tip-ins on like one possession. I think he had like 5 offensive rebounds on one possession from tip-ins. But nonetheless, he was very impactful in this game, his first game back from injury. But yeah, man, outside of him, there's just so many things this team is struggling with right now. They're struggling with finding James Wiseman underneath the basket. They're struggling with trying to figure out how to use him, integrate him into the team, even though he had 10 points and 10 rebounds in this game. I thought he was fine. Bojan has really struggled these two games. They're putting the ball in his hands, and guys are just getting physical with him, and we all know that he doesn't have great ball handle. So when guys just get physical with him, he just turns the ball over or forces bad shots. He had 4 turnovers tonight, most of any Piston. And like at least 3 or 4 of his misses, out of it, 3 of his 7 misses were coming from him just straight up trying to foul bait because he didn't like the fact that they were getting physical with him. He hasn't looked good at all in these last two games. He's looked absolutely bad. And he's not trying defensively. He got technical too. He can't be doing that as a veteran. I don't get it. I don't get why they keep giving him the ball and expecting him to create when we've seen all year that once teams get physical with him and up in him, he doesn't have the handle to deal with that. So they need to find a better way of using Bojan. I also would like if Isaiah Livers continued to get more minutes. In this game, Isaiah Livers was one of the only players who played really well. 4 of 6, 11 points, 3 of 4 from deep, had one monster jam on Jakob Poeltl. I didn't know he had hops like that, but Livers continues to play well these last two games. Ever since Sadiq got traded, Isaiah Livers played really well, really, really well for the Pistons. I'd like to see him get closer to 30 minutes still. Last game he didn't get close to it, but this game he's at 29 minutes. I'd like to see him hover around there. He's a key piece. I'd like to see play a lot for the rest of the year. And then the Pistons backcourt, and this will be the final thing I talk about. And actually, no. God, I told you guys I was going to talk about Sadiq Bey. I got so caught up in the low podcast and everything, my takeaways there, and then talking about this Raptors game. Forget it. Whatever. Sadiq's not on the team no more. If you guys want to hear about another reason why the Pistons got rid of Sadiq, go listen to the low podcast. I'm not going to touch on it here. Whatever. But the Pistons backcourt, I think the Pistons need to seriously consider just moving Killian Hayes to the bench and starting Alec Burks, or starting, I wouldn't actually, not Hampton, but maybe starting Livers, because I don't think these I thought at first, like the first like 30 or so games they played together, I thought they were playing fine together. But I don't know. I feel like the last month or so, they just haven't really had a great groove together. Obviously, when they're both not hitting shots, it looks worse. Last game wasn't as bad. Killian had 12 and 5, and Jane Ivy had that hell of a game, just went monster in that game. So it didn't look as bad last game, but I don't feel like they're really meshing as much in this starting together. And with them just going full on Jane Ivy point guard, I actually think that at that point you'd rather start Burks. If you're just going to go full on Ivy point guard with how well he's looked, or how good he's looked running the point guard position, 10 assists in this game, continues to make really good passes. He had 5 in the first half or first quarter. I think at this point you should just start Alec Burks, and then you can still play like Killian played 32. Jane Ivy had 32 minutes. Like, you can still play them the same minutes to stagger it and then close with them. Still, you can still close with them, but I don't know. I think that you probably need to bring Killian off the bench and just stagger them. And if you want to close with them, you can at the end of each half. So that's what I would do. But again, like I said, it looks worse when obviously they're not hitting shots. They both were 4 of 22 combined. So that's not great stuff. It looks worse when they're missing shots, but still, I feel like probably a lot of you guys feel the same way. This haven't looked like, I don't know. I feel like they haven't looked like they're on the same page a lot, or are really syncing together as much as you, at least I thought they were at first. But that's just my opinion on it. And then obviously I save this for the end of the podcast because I don't want to make this like a big point. He doesn't matter as much, but because I'm so high on him and I've talked so much about him, I obviously have to talk about when he struggles, or I'm going to look like I'm biased or anything. But Killian Hayes, I mean, his last two games before this, he had 10 points and 12 points, but he still is not shooting the ball well. This game, he shot 1 of 6. He has to play better, man. We talked about it before, that these last 22 games were going to be big to see if he can get closer to the player he was for those 33 games, or if he's closer to the player he was the 11 games before All-Star break. And so far, the two games after, the game against Orlando wasn't as bad, but this past game, he just wasn't aggressive. He's not looking for the same mid-range shots in this game. Like, I don't know. He's just not looking to score as much. Like, there was a long period of time when we were getting accustomed to getting 12, 11, 13, 10, 11, 12. They're like, he was being aggressive looking for a shot. So the fact that he only has 6 shots, I don't like that. He's not being aggressive. He isn't hitting his outside threes. He was 1 of 4 in this game. He was 1 of 4 last game. So it's only 2 games into the All-Star break. They still got 21 more games. So he needs to close good in these final 21 games, but time's a ticking. Time's a ticking. So he needs to turn it around. So not playing well at all. Defensively, he's been fine, but we don't care about that. He needs to get better offensively and prove that 33 game sample wasn't a fluke. And he's closer to that player. So hasn't done that through these two games. We need to see it happen soon, or it's going to start getting pretty concerning. So that's all I've got for you guys though today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen every single day. Free, available on all your podcast platforms. Haven't already, hit that subscribe button to the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, again, make sure you guys go check out that Low Post episode. Man, it was great. You guys need to listen. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe and peace out.